Welcome to the Automatic Merchandiser State of the Vending Industry Report podcast. The State of the Industry Report in the current issue of Automatic Merchandiser presents findings based on 2009 operator performance. This was the most challenging year in the industry's history from a revenue standpoint. We have with us today a vending operator, Josh Koritz, president of Dynamic Vending in St. Louis, Missouri, and two beverage product manufacturer representatives, Joe Guth, vice president of vending operations at Coca-Cola North America on-premise, and Kevin Thompson, national channel manager for vending for Nestle Waters North America. The cold beverage segment is the largest single product segment in vending. The increase in glass front machines in recent years has been a major driver in the vending channel because of the greater variety of product being merchandised. However, the recession has slowed the growth of glass front beverage machines. I would like to ask Joe Guth from Coca-Cola North America if there is any indication that glass front rollouts will resume in the near future.
Thanks, Elliot. I believe in general, as I think from the current business trends that we're seeing for this year, that as business starts to improve, I think our ability to start to redefine our relationships with vending operators and then have the potential to start to invest again. I don't know that we're in a position to say that we're committed to investing in glass front vendors just as we speak right now, but I do believe that we are exploring investment opportunities within the vending space.
Okay. Our State of the Industry report indicates the recession has also brought a resurgence of can sales at the expense of bottles, which had been growing rapidly in recent years. I would like to ask our operator, Josh Koritz of Dynamic Vending in St. Louis, Missouri, what do you think are the reasons we've seen an increase in cans recently?
I would say naturally is the economy, the pricing. Instead of paying $1.25 or $1.35 or $1.50 for a drink, consumers are more price conscious, and so 65, 75 cents for a can of soda or 12-ounce beverage is more reasonable. And I think that's one of the driving engines for that.
Okay. Now, our survey does not specifically examine the impact that can sales have on product mix, but some industry observers have claimed that the resurgence of cans has revitalized carbonated beverages, which have been losing market share in recent years to non-carbonated beverages. Some beverage research has also confirmed that in the past year, carbonated drinks have made a comeback. Joe, do you see a growing interest on the part of the consumer in the more traditional carbonated drinks?
I think there's an opportunity for us industry-wide, not just in vending, to continue to reinvigorate our sparkling portfolio. And we've done this in a number of ways, in and around pack innovation and just better overall marketing. And I believe that we are seeing an increased interest in carbonated beverages. I know there's been some speculation that it's related purely to people trading down into lower price points. And I'm sure while that has some effect, I also believe the innovation that and around things like the 16-ounce, 99-cent price point that we've brought within convenience retail, as well as innovations like Coke Zero and a resurgence in our diet portfolio, where both Diet Coke and Coke Zero are growing. In fact, Diet Coke is now the number two sparkling brand in the nation. So I think a combination of those factors has caused a resurgence in growth. As it relates specifically to cans, I think there's always an opportunity to make sure that we have an affordable offering within our sparkling portfolio. And as I mentioned, we've done that in the U.S., and we've certainly done that abroad. So I think there's continued opportunity as there's increased cost of goods, and an increased pressure from the consumer to have an affordable refreshment solution. And I think there's opportunity for us to bring more to that within the vending industry.
Okay. Now, the bottled water business has been one of the strongest cold beverage categories in recent years. Industry data indicates that this has slowed in the last year. Now, most of the industry data is based on retail sales, not vending sales. So, Kevin from Nestle Waters, has bottled water sustained its momentum in the vending channel from your vantage point?
Yeah, I believe so, Elliot. What we're seeing, and you're correct, we use a lot of data, Nielsen data, et cetera, similar trends that you see in C-store, we see on the vending side. Overall, we're very excited about what's happened. We've seen a change in the category as it relates to bottled water. The category this year has grown as a whole, if you look at 52 weeks out, about 3.7%. So we feel we've seen the category turn, become positive again, and growing again.
And what do you attribute that to?
Well, if you look at, first of all, the economy, that plays a key piece. So a couple areas, especially if you look at the economy and consumer confidence, consumer spending's up. Also, if you look at bottled water and the trends in bottled water, the consumer's turning to a more of a healthy beverage, if you will, and we're continuing to see that migration from, if you will, high caloric or sweetened beverages to more healthy beverages, leading to bottled water. So the combination of those two, economy, health-driven concerns, are increasing those shares again.
Okay. That brings up an interesting point, health and wellness. Josh, do you see the health and wellness as a growth area for cold beverages and vending?
It's huge. We just got done doing a study and actually implemented where we took the vending machines in certain locations and locations that we didn't even think that they would not do well with the healthy, really the like the non-carbs, the bottled waters, the teas, excuse me. And basically the numbers came in about 3 days ago and 10% up. And first thing I said, well, let's test it one more time and then we just go company-wide. So there is definitely an upside in the health and wellness. Bottled water is huge to us. And I would like to make a note to Nestle. If I was in the bottled water business, I think I would charge an extra nickel and take that nickel for every bottle that's sold, and let's use that to go ahead and figure out the problem with all the plastic. If we figure that out, I think bottled water will be around for a long time. If we
now,
don't...
On that point, Josh, do you actually get comments from customers about sustainability issues?
As far as...
I mean, are they saying they don't want as many bottles in the
Absolutely.
Machine?
We have a lot of customers that are pushing back to the cans, and one of the major issues is green. And I think that the bottled water companies and the beverage companies have a responsibility if they want us to push this 20-ounce in these different packaging, which is profitable for the vendor too. We need to figure out that plastic. We need to figure out that issue, and we're going to pay for it. So let's pay for it now. Let's pay the extra nickel or whatever it's going to cost us, and come to the solution. We have actual accounts where we'll have 100 machines in some of these hospitals that they're telling us to take all the bottles out, whether it's CSDs or waters, all cans. That's what they want.
Huh.
And most of that's driven by the green. That's our feelings, and that's what the customers are telling us.
Okay. Well, Kevin, do you have any ideas about what the manufacturers can do on this issue?
Sure. And I think Elliot and a lot of the industry is seeing, you know, our role at Nestle Waters, you know, our competitors with Coke and Pepsi. All the manufacturers are playing huge roles in educating the consumer and educating society in the U.S., if you will, on the importance of recycling, and that's key in this country. recycling rates and educating the consumers on increasing recycling and what plastics can be used for in recycling back into our bottles and our packaging, back into other items and clothing and carpets and et cetera. So there's a huge opportunity. And as a company, we work very close with nonprofits, legislators, communities to increase curbside and community recycling. We work with programs like Climate Groups Recycle Together. It's trying to also empower the local communities to make away from home recycling more convenient. That's also key in this country. So recycling's key, education, what you know, the good side of plastics and what those plastics can be used for are key. So agree with Josh. From a consumer standpoint, they'll hear one piece of what plastics, be it a bottled water or be it a carbonated soft drink, are bad for the environment. But if recycled, if used responsibly and reused, there's many, many benefits to plastic. So we work endlessly on that. And recycling rates for bottled water have rose in the last year to 31%, which is great. Still a lot of opportunity and continued education.
Okay. And Joe, what is Coca-Cola doing in the area of recycling or sustainability?
We're doing a lot of things, Elliot. You know, as it relates specifically to water, we've introduced the plant bottle, and it's not nationwide yet, but it will be within the next year. And that in and of itself makes the bottle more environmentally friendly. And so we're doing a lot on our own to be able to recycle that material that we produce relative to our products. Moreover, when you look at the vending machines themselves, we are pushing out on energy efficient equipment, whether that be the refrigerant or the energy management system within the machine. And then lastly, even as it comes to going online within vending, that also dramatically reduces your carbon footprint. I also believe there's more opportunity for us to start to collaborate with operators to bring recycling programs to host customers. And so I think that's an area that we definitely want to explore. And between all those things, I think we can do a lot more with regard to the environment.
Okay. And is the plant bottle going to be available in vending?
I don't see why it wouldn't be.
Okay.
Right now, it's the biggest push right now is in other channels, and it's in limited manufacturing right now. But the idea is to take that more broadly. Moreover, if you will, on the water piece, I also think you know, part of our challenge is to move into more differentiated and value-added propositions within the water space. So things like we've done with our Glasso brand, Smart Water, things in the new age arena, if you will, such as Vitamin Water Zero or Fuse, I think it offers some very low-cal, very healthy beverages as people would perceive them. And I think all the above is an opportunity to continue to push the water category, if you will, water or enhanced water category. Especially if you're going to maintain price points and justify being in a package, if you will. So,
okay. All right. I think we're starting to wind down here. Let me just ask Kevin, how important is the vending channel to your company's overall growth plans?
Oh, it's extremely important. It's trial. It's having that point of distribution in front of the customer. So it's a very big piece of our business and a growing piece. And as this industry continues and the category continues to grow, it becomes even more significant and a larger part. We've developed packaging primarily for vending in our 16-ounce vend bottle, which meets the operator's needs for a package that is vendable, that is in the right price point, so it can meet the trends that we talked about earlier with cans and with bottles as well. So the vending category is a very large segment of our business, a very important part of our business, and as the category continues to grow, it remains a very significant part.
Okay. Joe, are you optimistic about the future of vending?
Actually, I'm very optimistic, Elliot. As we start to see the business trends turn, and as we start to look at new levels of innovation, I think the future for vending is very bright. I believe that we do need to bring innovation back to vending, both from a product as well as an equipment standpoint, and doing so in greater collaboration with the operators, I believe we can really start to supercharge the industry and bring it back to the heyday, if you will. So I do believe there's more opportunity going forward.
Okay. And Josh, as an operator, are you optimistic about the industry's future?
Yes. Just like Joe just said, and Kevin, I think that the old days of putting a vending machine out there and have the people eat whatever you think that they would like to eat is a thing of the past. The new innovative, more highly technical operators are now going ahead and using telemetry to see exactly what the customer wants, get rid of the stuff that the customer doesn't want, and I think there's a lot we'll see in the future, a lot more money being brought out, revenue being brought in per machine, because we're basically point of sale. We're giving the customers what we want, what they want, and we're reacting faster. That's the key, to go ahead and put a vending machine out there and fill it all up with stuff that doesn't sell, which is the old vending, you know, mentality. That's a thing of the past. The only people that are going to survive in the future is be able to switch out brands as they come, different packaging as fast as they come, and make a lot more money. Everybody will.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that concludes the podcast, and I thank all of you for your participation.